in Jehovah could not condone the bloodshed of animals, could not forever sin atone. But the Son had compassion. He said, Father, their prince of glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave something is happening as their
and hold just a second here. You know, that song kind of sneaks up on you, so it kind of builds and builds. So Peyton, I'm going to have you start one more time. You stay up there, girls. And we thank God for Peyton and Emily, and he's the oldest one up there, but he just fits right in. And God has blessed our church with Peyton and Emily, and Peyton, lead us out on that. But young people, sing it. If you give us any more on the microphones, give it to us. And I want you to pay attention and think about this. We read through the Old Testament all the blood that was shed and the sacrifices, but all that was just an indicator, like a neon sign leading us, pointing us to Jesus Christ, and that was finished. The Bible says he sat down at the right hand of the Father because it was all done. And praise the Lord for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust it's a blessing to you. We'll just sing it one more time.
When man sinned in the garden,
Son had compassion. He said,
soldiers nailed his hands. It's been 3 days since heaven watched their prince of glory die. His followers
to that. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord for his goodness to us. And I think about the young people. Thank you for singing. Peyton, thank you for singing, leading it out. Maddie, thank you for playing and just a joy. I'm excited about what the Lord has given to us and done for us and done in us. I'm looking at Mark chapter number 14, where the Lord's Supper is instituted and given as the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives it to them. I was planning to get into 1 Peter here in just a moment, and we'll see. I just want to read some to you, though, before we get to that point, and we'll see how the Lord leads. I want you to be praying. I forgot to mention earlier, Brother David Harrison wasn't able to be here today. He should have been, but he just had a real rough night, so please keep him lifted up in prayers. I'm looking at Mark chapter 14, verse number 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. And we have the wonderful privilege now of looking back to know that that was his, it was representing, as he said there, it's the blood of the New Testament, which is shed, verse number 24, "For many, verily I say unto you, I will not drink I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And we think about the Lord's Supper being instituted. They're preparing before that the Passover, and they're getting all of that, and they celebrate it in the verses prior to that. But can you imagine the time that Jesus with his disciples, that he gets to pull them apart and just says, "Take, eat"? Then they, of course, didn't understand many things, as they often did not. "But this is my body, and then this is my blood" of the New Testament. There are different beliefs. Some religions would believe that juice changes, and we understand that we take unfermented fruit of the vine, grape juice, and we do that because it most aptly represents the precious, sinless, holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's grape juice in, it's grape juice all the way down, it's grape juice, but it represents the body and the blood, rather, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Luke chapter 22, the Bible says he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it, gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." I don't know if you ever think back about this. Of course, we can't think back because we weren't there, but you ever ponder and wonder what it would have been like to be there that day. When you actually, the Bible talks about John, that he leaned on his breast and John was close to him there. But the other disciples were as well. All of them had that same opportunity. And then they see him get to break this and say, "This is my body, which is given for you. And this do in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after he'd taken that. And I just think about the wonderful message that he gives there in verse number 20 of Luke 22. But right after that, now he's getting into some serious stuff. But behold, verse number 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And I think about right after that tender moment with the Lord Jesus Christ, when he breaks this bread and says, "This is my body," and gives that juice to say, "This is my blood of the New Testament." And then he, as soon as that's over, he says, "There's somebody that's leaning right here, somebody with their hands on the table that is going to deny me and betray me." And I think about how hard that would have been to have just seen what you'd seen, but then go and do what Judas did. It's just difficult to understand all those things. I don't have an answer for much, if any of it. I know over in 1 Corinthians where God gives it again through Paul to the people of Corinth, and he gives the most detailed recollection of all of it, and he gives it all in summary there. It says in verse number 22 of 1 Corinthians 11, or verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." I was thinking about this gift that the Lord gives the church, and that's the wonderful observance of the Lord's Supper. We are supposed to look back at the time of what Christ did, because it's a remembrance pointing us back to what he has given to us. But he says that we do it until the Lord return, that we look forward to the time when he comes again. I was thinking about some of the songs that we were singing, that God leads his dear children along. But we also, earlier in the service, sang "Until Then." So we were looking ahead until one of these days when the Lord returns, one of these days we're going to not worry about these things. And Brother Eugene, as he was giving that testimony about how the Lord doesn't erase those things, but he certainly slips them back into obscurity when that truth comes. And I was thinking about how the problems that we face in this world, or in this life, the folks right near you, many of you, facing difficulties right now. And if you were honest, you would say, "I don't know how we're going to get through these things." But could I just get you through the eye of faith and your mind's eye to look forward for just a little while tonight? And realize that one of these days you will be with the Lord. One of these days, these problems that seem to be dragging you down so much right now, one of these days they'll seem but a light thing. One of these days you'll look back, and I don't know what God's going to allow us to remember. I know that some of the sin and the wickedness and the difficulties he certainly won't allow us to. Eventually all tears will be wiped away, and so we won't have memories of some of those difficulties and things. But whatever he doesn't veil and we're allowed to look back at, we certainly are going to have that attitude that says, I don't know why I was so worried about all those things that I was worried about. You ever stood up to your, not stood up to your dad, but stood up to talk to your dad? I remember when I was a kid, and I'd ask him something. I want to ask you something. They said, okay, what is it? And then when you got up to the question, or up to the place where you could ask the question, it didn't seem as important as you thought it was. You say, ah, forget it, nothing. I think that's a little bit of the feeling that we'll have. I talk to people all the time. I say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus about this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God to buy this. When I get to heaven, I'm going to do this. And I don't ever scold them because I'm sure I've had the same thought. But I don't think we'll be doing a lot of that. I really think that we'll just be so overwhelmed by the gift of being there in His presence. I think that all those things that plagued our mind down here, they're just going to be gone somewhere. I don't think we're going to worry about them a bit. And that's what the scripture says, that we're supposed to show this Lord's death through the table that we get to come to tonight till He come. And so we understand that that could be this evening. This could be the last time that we partake. Or we may do this a dozen more times. We just do it as a church body until He come again. And I'm guaranteeing you, and I'm promising us from Scripture, that when we see Him, a lot of those problems that we spent so much time fretting and fuming over will seem to dissipate into nothing. A wonderful time. Before we partake, and I'm just trying to mind the Lord here. I had a different order of service, but but before we partake, and we'll get it, I hope that you had an opportunity. I'll give you a chance if you didn't pick one up in the lobby, but you want to, you can just in a moment. But thinking back to the time you were saved, when you came face to face with the realization that you, without Jesus Christ, were going to spend eternity forever separated from God, and you realize your case, you realize your position as a sinner, and you called out to Jesus Christ, put your faith in Him. You know, there are no magic words. You don't say a hocus pocus prayer. A lot of times people will put their thoughts from their heart into a prayer, that worded prayer, but it's truly an attitude of belief in our heart. He that believeth in their heart shall be saved, the Bible says. And I'm challenging you right now to think back at that time. Maybe it was in this auditorium, maybe it was in the other one, maybe it was by your mom's knee, maybe it was at a revival meeting somewhere. But I'm challenging everybody, every believer in this room, to think back when it was. You may not remember the date. I wouldn't without looking at my Bible here, but you may not remember the date, but you remember the real estate. Do you remember where you were? Well, I remember. Would you do that for just a moment? If you're watching on live stream, I challenge you to do the same. Where was that at? Can your mind go back to a time when you put your belief, your trust, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm asking you to go back now just a little further than that and look at the surroundings and the circumstances that brought you to that point. I know how you got saved. If you're saved, you got saved the same way I did. Jesus Christ saved your soul. But all the circumstances are different on all of us. I'm challenging you to go back just a little further. What were those circumstances that brought you to that point where you trusted Christ? Now, we don't have time to go person to person, but if we did, some of the circumstances that you just recounted in your mind would have been very, very negative. Because some, it was the death of a loved one. Some, it was a great tragedy. Some, it was some other problem that you were going on, was going on in your life. And if that had been the end of the story, that problem that you're recollecting just then the story would be a rotten one. But what happened is the Lord allowed that to come so that you'd look up, so that you'd realize your need of a Savior. Maybe your story was different. Maybe you just were grown up in church and you knew more and more and more about Jesus and it was very pleasant. But that's a story that you get to rejoice in because the Lord Jesus Christ made himself very real to you. So I challenged you to go back to when you got saved, when you put your belief in Jesus Christ. You probably don't remember the words you said, as again, there's no magic words, but you remember my heart wanted him. And then I challenge you to go back even further than that, the circumstances that led you to that point. But now I want you to come forward just a little bit after you got saved. When you put your faith in Christ, you knew that you were his, you knew that he was yours. Do you remember that peaceful feeling? Do you remember how everything was all right in my Father's house? Everything was good. I'm saved, I'm taken care of, I don't have to worry about anything. Well, from there till now, have you kept that same peace that you got right after you got saved? Or have you let the cares of this world steal some of the joy that's rightfully yours? Have you let the problems, have you let Satan, let the world, the flesh, the devil, rob you of those rightful positions that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ? So we've gone back to when we became a believer. We've gone back just a little bit further, and then we've come back a little closer. But my friend, if you're not where you were as far as the joy of the Lord, think about Miss Larkey, who's such a blessing, given testimony earlier, has been walking with the Lord for a long, long time, and her wonderful husband serve God faithfully. And they've kept the joy of the Lord in their heart and raised their kids to live for the Lord. But many of you have done the same thing. And I'm thinking about this as you had that sweet peace. Is it still there tonight? That may be the reason you came back this evening. You say, no, I came back because somebody wanted me to. Well, somebody may want you to, but the Lord may have you here for a different reason than somebody else had you here for. Maybe that you came so you could hear those young people in Peyton sing about the sufficiency of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those priests, their job got done because Jesus Christ finished what they had spent so long working in. And so my question to you tonight is this. After you got saved, that sweet peace that came over you, if you're not living in that same peace, wouldn't you yield to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I want to live there again. I want to live in that full assurance. I want to live in that sweet, sweet spot of you flooding my soul with comfort and peace. The Bible says this, let a man examine himself, meaning that somebody's not supposed to come to the Lord's table with the symbolic juice and bread. We're not supposed to come to this to the Lord's table with aught in their heart and sin. But I don't judge you. You don't judge me. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible says, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So this evening, as a church family, we get to gather together. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head in prayer. If you forgot to get your juice and bread on the way in, you've got a chance to get out there and get that. But I'm just going to ask you to let a man examine himself. Let a woman look on herself. Is there something in your heart that would keep that sweet comfort and sweet peace that you had after you got saved from being in your life right now tonight? And if there's anything in your heart, I challenge you. You need to slip back and get the cup and the juice. We've got time. We're in no rush. I challenge you, my friend, to make things right with the Lord right there where you sit. Now, there may be something after this service. You say, Lord, I'm making it right with you. I'm going to go make it right with that person when I get out of here. Then wonderful. I challenge you to do it. But right there where you sit, let a man, let a woman examine himself. As our ladies just play something through and give us a little time to not only think back and say, make sure all things are right between you and the Father, but then thank Him for that precious gift of salvation. And maybe you're here tonight and you want to come to the front and pray about something, then the altar's open for you. We're in no hurry. It's just us, our church family here tonight. Maybe you want to come pray about something. Give something to the Lord. Thank Him for what He's given you. As they keep on playing, maybe God's speaking to your heart this evening. And I talked about you knowing for sure there's a time, you remember the real estate, you remember the place, you remember the circumstances when you got saved. Maybe you don't, but you'd like to come and let somebody, me or someone, take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you've got Christ as your Savior. You see, our church can't save anybody, but we can tell you about somebody who will save anybody. And that's Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have that explained to you, then would you just step out and come? I'm just going to ask you to play one more verse. You do business with the Lord right there. If you need somebody to pray with you, slip on up the front. Me or Brother Daniel, Brother Kyle, somebody, we'll help you. Thank you. You can look this way. Well, as I mentioned, in 1 Corinthians, God used Paul to write to those people at Corinth, but he was recounting what had already happened in the Gospels when Jesus had given, instituted the Lord's Supper, because before he went to the cross, he, on that Passover, when they were celebrating, he added to that, and he said, well, what we're going to do now is institute this Lord's Supper, and he broke that bread and gave that juice, and that, of course, is what we're given now as a church and orders. Some churches do it weekly, some do it monthly, some do it quarterly, and there's no scriptural mandate that you have to do it a certain amount of times. It's just as oft as you do this, so it leaves it to the church, and we try to do it at a fairly regular interval. But as Jesus was given to those disciples, we try our best to get it back to that same spot Jesus broke and gave it out. But we don't have that aspect. We do have the little bread there in the bottom of the cup as you have, and I challenge you to get it out if you'd like to partake. And the scripture says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. I'm going to ask, Kyle, you still have your microphone there? Would you have it? Bring it over to Marty. Marty, would you pray for us and pray just thank the Lord for it's a wonderful thing that Jesus cared so much to die for us. Because I know I wasn't worthy. And I know biblically you all weren't worthy either. I mean, you know yourself more than anybody else. I know I wasn't worthy. He didn't come because he saw something of value in us. He didn't come because he's going to get a return on his investment. He didn't come because we were really going to turn into something worth looking at. He just came because he loved us. A wonderful thing. Marty, would you pray for us? Just follow the Lord.
Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this time we've had together. We thank you for this point we come to look back and remember what you did for us. It's such a humbling thing to think that God of everything took on the robe of human flesh and became the sacrifice for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. That you gave your body to be broken for me. Lord, nothing in me deserves this. But Lord, you did it out of love. And I thank you for that tremendous love for the whole world, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless us now in Jesus' name.
Well, Kyle, I'll let you get back to Anna and you can sit there. But as he'd given thanks, the Bible says he break it. And it's just very humbling. It just really hits me this time. I don't know why, maybe more than normal, but just the wonderful sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm like most of you. I've done this hundreds of times, I guess. I don't know, maybe more than that, I suppose. But this really is really getting me of how undeserving we are. But yet he loved us. Wow. So he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And the Bible says that after the same manner, he took the cup and he had supped and saying, this is the cup of the New Testament. So I'm so thankful for the song that Peyton and the young people sang. We'll ask Peyton, if you don't mind, if Kyle just slide that microphone down to you. Peyton, why don't you just pray and mind the Lord and just thank him for what the blood of Christ means to you.
Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to come to your house tonight, God. Just the sweet spirit we felt, God, just how much you love us, God. Like Pastor said, Lord, we're just so undeserving, God. If every person in here said everything they did, God, we'd crawl under church pew, God. But we're just so thankful that in spite of us, God, you chose to love us, God. And I thank you, Lord, that August 14th, 2010, God, that blood that you shed on the cross, God, that was the last blood I'll ever need, God. Yeah. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. God, we're so undeserving. God, we love you so much tonight, God. Just thank you for this time that you put in your word, Lord, that we could look back, God, and we can just reminisce, God, on what you did for us, God. We're so thankful for it. We love you, Lord, tonight. In name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, I can't help but think back to that night when he took that bread and then he took that cup and gave it to him. It must have been a wonderful, wonderful occasion or wonderful instance. But after that cup, then he said, if you'll take that and turn it there, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. As I mentioned, it's just a humbling feeling tonight of how unworthy we are, but how worthy he is. Back in the Gospels, it says when they had taken that, when they'd done this, then they'd sung a hymn, went out in the Mount of Olives. And so I'm going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind, to come. And we're going to sing. I tell you what, let's go back to that 149, Until Then. And we'll sing it as our going home song. Is what he'll do is he'll lead us in we'll lead in the first and the last verse, or do all three, whichever you do is fine. But we'll just look at that until then, and you can stand with us together if you would. And then after that, then we'll be dismissed. We have to get back to business just a little bit, and Amy will be back in the back. Ladies, if you want to buy one of those Bible study books, that's coming up just real soon, she'll be back there in the back. If you want to sign up for that lady's conference, then that sign-up sheet's back there. If you'd like to help Eugene, 2 weeks from today, we're going to have that big big birthday celebration. I'm so looking forward to it, but we still need some help on preparation before, service during, cleanup afterwards. We've got something for everybody to do. Choir, we're going to look forward to you singing both times on that Sunday. Before then, of course, Wednesday night, if you're in the choir, please come. You're going to run through things before then, or they're just going to meet? Where are they going to meet at on Wednesday? What's your plan? Just meet up here. All right. Choir, come. We're going to have a blessed time together. If you can't be here on Wednesday night, please do this. Please pray between now and then that God would meet with us in a special way. I'm putting a lot of stock in this service. I'm looking forward to what God would do, and I believe He's going to meet with us. And so if you can't be here, then please pray. Put it on your list. Pray for God to touch us during that service this Wednesday night at 7, and then, of course, that 18th that's coming up, and there's probably some other things back there on the table that you can sign up for. So after we get done with this singing, you're dismissed. Thank you so much for being in church. Brother Daniel, it's all you.
Thanks for being here tonight.